Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, a better understanding, a conversation with James Copert. As children, many of us have imaginary friends. Friends that we can't see, but we pretend to be there. What happens when a child is, in fact, seeing these friends, learning their names, likes, interests, and history, only for these facts to match up with a real-life child who passed on many years before? James Copert is a man who had very real imaginary friends. This would lead to an upbringing where he would meet other spirits who would be anything but friends, leading others to believe his family was cursed and heartbreak beyond belief.
I've been involved with the paranormal since before I can even remember. So as a child, my parents would find me talking to people with kind of old English names that I hadn't heard before. So kind of I'd be sat talking to Gertrude, or I'd go in someone else's house and I'd talk to some other old English name. And there weren't things that I'd kind of come across before, and I used to freak my parents out. And then I even named my child after one of my friends when I was little, called Aggie, who used to get up to mischief with me and used to play and have conversations in the first house I lived in. But it really kind of started one morning when I woke up and I saw a Roman legion soldier in my bedroom, just kind of stood. I definitely felt awake, and I kind of had the conversation at school and started being called Ghost Boy and bullied a little bit. But that was kind of, it sparked my interest from there. It didn't even scare me, that one. It was kind of, I remember the light coming in the window, and it was almost kind of an angelic form. It wasn't a scary thing, but it was fascinating that was in my bedroom. And I just kind of started reading things and becoming more kind of interested after that.
So you weren't scared by this event in your room, but you were fascinated and I guess comfortable enough to go into class and share with your schoolmates what happened. Did it register to you when you were sharing this with your schoolmates that this was an abnormal thing? This is something that maybe most of your friends have not experienced.
Yeah, definitely it did, because their response was to kind of shy away from me and shy away from the conversation and call me names. But I guess I'd kind of speak into what some people would term imaginary friends from a young age. Mm-hmm. And just being kind of often seeing slightly different things. I've always been different anyway. So I was diagnosed with acute ADHD as a child. So I was already extremely hyperactive and kind of different anyway. So even getting a different response from people.
Sure.
I even can remember thinking, I've got memories, whether they're true or not, of even being able to levitate at a young age, as bizarre as that sounds. I still don't know whether that's childhood fantasy or mm-hmm. it actually happened, but that was kind of at the age of about 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. So just strange things have often occurred around me.
So when you had that first experience there with the Roman soldier that was in your bedroom as a child, I know you told your friends about it. Did you tell your parents?
I did, yeah, and they kind of were just, well, that's just James, you know, that they have always been used, as I say, since I could first talk. I was talking to invisible people,
yeah.
Interacting, even could say where they were and what their names were. So they were kind of used to it by then.
Were they thinking that there's something paranormal going on with our son, or did they think that you just have an overactive imagination, as a lot of parents would?
I think from my family history, so on kind of both sides of the family, there's been some sort of links to the paranormal. So on my Dutch side of the family, my auntie has healing hands. My grandmother, before she died, she begged. She was in a concentration camp. She was part of the Dutch resistance, and she was fearful, because all her brothers and sisters had been killed, that she was going to also dying. She said she prayed for her parents to ensure that she was going to survive for them. And she said that the room lit up and that someone walked in and told her that she was going to be liberated in 2 days, which she was. And even on my grandparents in my English side would both had kind of paranormal experiences. Both my parents have as well throughout. So they used to own a pub in Twickenham, which is where I first lived near London. And that was they had some mediums that kind of worked and had to leave because that was too much of a corridor, they said. So they've always had lots of kind of involvement anyway. So I won't say they were into it or really interested in it, but it was always kind of, it wasn't abnormal in their world. Let's put it that way.
Sure. How far did the curiosity about the Roman soldier take you in terms of trying to figure out why a Roman soldier, why in your bedroom, who was he? I mean, did you ever go down that road?
Yeah, more recently, really. Just kind of recalling that was my first full spirit I saw kind of directly, that I can remember. And I did a bit of research into Finham in Coventry, which is the area it was. And there was a Roman fort nearby. And looking on the map, they had different outposts. So potentially this was a residual energy of, it didn't interact with me or anything. He was literally stood there. And it was like potentially a residual energy of maybe a lookout post, which one was situated within Finham. So chances are that could have potentially been where my bedroom was.
That's very interesting. When you had this experience, or you had that experience, was it followed up by other experiences? I know you said you had other childhood imaginary friends as well that that you end up even naming your daughter after, which I think is really cool. Tell me about those other children. Tell me about those other playmates you had as a child that, looking back on you, realized they were ghosts.
Yeah, so Aggie was in our house, and I used to talk to her all the time. We used to play hide and seek, and I'd be waiting, hiding behind the curtains, and wait, you know, till I was found. And my parents used to watch this with kind of keen interest. So we often played hide and seek together, but it was only in the house. So Aggie didn't come out anywhere else with me. I'm told it was only just in that house alone. And if I went somewhere else, in, say, in another house, it wouldn't always happen. Some houses would be none, but I'd go in a different house and start talking to someone else in that house. So, but Aggie was kind of my friend until we moved into from Walsgrave to Finham, and then very much just Aggie had disappeared. So she was only in that house. So kind of at the time, she was just a friend. So I must have imagined her just being a real person and speaking to her as an actual playmate. But my parents said they didn't see her, although things sometimes moved, which has been kind of a feature, especially as I hit puberty, where things started moving around quite a lot.
So while you were having this playmate, Aggie, in your mind, was this registering to you as this is another child just as real as someone that you went to school with? Or did you know to yourself, since your parents didn't see her, were you aware that they did not see her? Did you know that she was a ghost? What was her, basically identity as a ghost or a human to you as a child?
So from what I can remember, because I was really young, I did remember that my parents didn't see her, but it's what's normal every single day to day-to-day life. So, you know, for someone that's living with abuse, I guess that's just normal to their life. And it's only when they move into a different life do they not recognize that. So for me, that was just, it was completely normal.
Sure.
And I guess I would have expected that every other child had this playmate that kind of just suddenly appeared and disappeared at will whenever they wanted to. So for me, it was just very normal. It's only kind of when you get older and have more kind of self-realization that you do know that it's was something abnormal, I guess.
When you look back on your playing with Aggie, I would think there may be like specifics to it as far as how she looked. Obviously, you know, the names tell a story in itself of them being of a different generation. But did she dress? Was there features of her that maybe way that she talked to you or interacted with you that made her look or feel like she was from a different place and time, especially looking back on it as an adult, understanding those perspectives better?
Yeah, it was more the fact that she'd just appear and disappear kind of whenever she wanted to. So I'd be playing and then she'd suddenly be stood in the room. And then I couldn't find her in the house because she just vanished. And it was kind of those type of things. I don't really, looking back, I would have done, but at that time, that was just what she wore. So to me as a child, she was just Aggie, just my playmate, rather than noting specifically what she was kind of wearing or anything. That really didn't register at that age.
About how old were you when you were playing with Aggie?
I was probably about 5 or 6. Okay. So just kind of starting primary school.
Okay. I'm curious, as you've gotten older too, have you ever done any research into trying to find the origin stories of Aggie as well, or come across anything?
It's been difficult because we moved out the area. So I started off in London, then we moved to Coventry, and then we've moved kind of up north. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall the addresses. My parents can't remember either, like the specific addresses. So it's pretty hard to kind of track down the history. It would be interesting to find out, but I can't honestly remember the addresses we lived at.
Wow. My question, I guess, would be, if you were able to go back to that house as an adult, yeah, do you think Aggie is still there?
Yeah, I guess if I could go back, I'd love to go back. I'd love to be able to see if I could communicate and find out a story and everything. It'd be interesting to see if she remembered me as well.
It would be. It'd be interesting. I mean, obviously, you have to put into question, and I think the answer in this case would very likely be, did she age with you? But if she was from a different generation, you would almost have to assume she's, permanently a little girl, on the other side. So you show up, you're now an adult, and then here's your childhood playmate. Yeah. Still a child, it would just be very interesting. When was it for you that you had the realization that little girl that was your childhood playmate was in fact a ghost?
I think it was when I was older, because we just kind of moved house and then she was gone. And I do remember missing her, and there wasn't anything in the next house. So I didn't have a kind of new playmate, and my brothers had come along by then as well. So it was just, it was there in the past, and my parents used to tell me stories about the things we used to get up to. So there wasn't that kind of realization. There was a point where I kind of grew older and noticed that she was something different. They'd just kind of, I moved house and she stayed behind at that house.
And that was it. Was there ever like a goodbye or anything? Was there ever a message like, I'll maybe see you later or anything like that?
Yeah, I remember being really upset when we were moving. I remember that really kind
of
distinctly.
And
I think I remember, obviously I was young, but I do remember a conversation of being sat in my bedroom and just saying, I've got to go now and bye-bye, and asking her if she was going to come, and just remembering that she wasn't, and that was going to be the last time I was going to play with her.
That's interesting. I have an interesting brief story I can relate here. Then I want to continue on to what happened as you moved. My wife, who co-hosts our other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, she actually had a realization very similar to that on the air, live, when we were very early in our podcast, about 7-8 years ago. We were talking about imaginary friends, and she had brought up her imaginary friend. And she started describing what this person looked like in great detail. And then she asked me if I had had one. And I said, honey, you do realize most people do not physically see their imaginary friend. It's not I'm really talking to somebody. They're pretending that they're, and it's just, for a lot of us, it's just that. It's just, let's pretend there's somebody there, but we're not truly seeing it at all. And she's, what do you mean you didn't see your imaginary friend? She just kind of went through life thinking that's what you do, because this, it's an odd conversation to have anyhow as an adult.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly like, oh, this came up in conversation over dinner, so it's on the show, and it was weird for her and for me too, just because we kind of had this. So we dug deeper into, well, what did he look like? And she's like, I always thought it was odd because he dressed in turn of the century type clothing, and did speak in a very, kind of different English than what, she was used to in Texas at the time, in the early 90s, and or late 80s. And then we did a little more research, or she did a little more research, and it turned out that there had been a horrible school explosion. One of the worst disasters in American history in terms of children losing their lives in a school disaster that happened very, very close to where she was growing up in Texas. But this disaster occurred in the 19-teens. And hundreds of children had died. They actually even eventually to move the bodies because they did not have enough places to put them around where this the school had exploded. They were carted via train track to neighboring towns. And she happened to live in one of the neighboring towns, which is only a few miles from where this happened. But this train track is in her backyard, where she grew up. And we were just looking at pictures, and we've gone through the pictures of the victims before, and there's been at least one I know that she's looked at and said, I think this might be him. Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.